Live from State Street in the heart of Chicago, you are listening to the new home of the Chicago Bears, ESPN Chicago. And this is Waddle and Sylvie, WMVP, WSHE, HD2, Chicago. A Good Karma Brands radio station.
It's locked, cocked, ready to rock.
It's Friday. Waddle's charged up. Beautiful day, too. Yeah?
How can you not be?
You should be. And this, we're moving into the best time of year.
Locked, cocked, and ready to rock.
You get a little Harbaugh to start the show. We're moving into the best weather time of the year. We've been waiting all winter and early spring for this. Next week, we'll be seeing football at this time at Hallis Hall. We'll be at Hallis a week from today.
Can't wait. Rookie mini camp. I've never said can't wait. For a rookie mini camp.
They were calling this morning Cap and Jesse to have that televised. The Bears should have like a on their website, they should televise it on the website.
They should.
Why not?
I mean, you're not selling secrets. You know everyone in the National Football League believes they're protecting national secrets. But I could see once you get to, into training camp, maybe not show every play, but yeah, just give the guys a taste. Give the fan base a taste. How about a taste?
Yes. Wet their whistle.
Yes.
By the way, I forgot to tell Carmen this. We did not do it the other day. And originally we were going to do punter or pianist because it had a good...
You said pianist.
Pianist, because it has good alliteration, and that's what we've usually done. But it doesn't give you the alliteration, but it's more timely today because of all the punter talk this week. At 3:30, in a half hour from now, get ready to call in because we're going to do punter or jockey.
With the Kentucky Derby. I think it's the 150th Kentucky Derby tomorrow.
Oh, that's a big one. What do they call that?
The Run for the Roses?
No, what do they call one, like,
150th anniversary of the Kentucky Derby. That's what they call
it. Like, 200 is what? Like, what's bicentennial?
That's 200.
200, so right?
Centennial would be 100.
100. So what
centennial
is...
Centennial and a half version of...
Yes. 150 is the sesquicentennial.
We're not going to say
it. Yeah. Then why not?
Because you'll forget it.
Say it.
Sesquicentennial.
Sesquicentennial. It's a good name for a racehorse.
Sesquicentennial.
Try and say that out of the turn. Charlie, say that, coming out of the turn.
And they're into the stretch, sesquicentennial.
Pretty good. Pretty good.
No, that was like, I don't know which horse I had.
I also don't think he's reading it directly off a screen right in front of his face either.
So the game will be in a half hour from now. We will give you a name. You will have to tell us if the name we give you is either a punter. Are these professional punters or are any punters on?
No. Come on, NFL, have to be punters. NFL punters.
NFL punters.
What about high school punters from up in like Zurich?
Okay, I don't know.
Listen, let's give our fans a chance.
All right, it either has to be an NFL punter or a jockey from horse racing.
And I bet you I know jockeys more than punters, no question.
Well, I don't think he's going to get everyone
right. I'm going 100. I'm getting 100%.
Okay.
I'll actually write down the answers and show it to you as you say it. Okay, so you can keep track of how many
sounds good.
Yeah.
So that we have a little fun at 3:30 for you. So be ready to call him there. Jesse will give us an update from Wrigley as soon as that game goes final, and a lot of fun today.
Yes, it's a free flowing Friday.
Yes, yes. Some NBA conversation as we just talked about with Patrick Beverley and Jalen Brunson. That Knicks game was fun again. That thing went right down to the wire.
It's a fun team to watch.
Yeah.
It really is.
But, of course, at this time yesterday, we had Ryan Poles on the show. You can grab the entire interview on our YouTube channel. It's youtube.com/@WaddleandSylvie, the station's YouTube channel as well. You can watch us, and that's where that's at. It's youtube.com, ESPN 1000 Chicago. So grab that, and... we talked a lot about what stood out for us. You know, he talked about Keenan Allen not negotiating until, the season starts. Maybe they only want 1 year. As a lot of people continue to point out, if they let him go after a year, they got a comp pick, I guess. A third round comp pick,
I think.
You know, it's interesting because if he has a fantastic year, he's probably going to want a mega contract again, even with his age, right?
Yeah.
So if what do you think, like, what do you think would be more likely for him to stay? If he has a fantastic year, or if he has like a good but not great year?
Well, if he has a really fantastic year, he's going to want to sign another big contract. It will be his last contract. And if the Bears aren't willing to meet his needs, because the Bears are going to have to pay DJ more.
Right.
So, look, I want him to play like an all-pro, and then we'll deal with it afterwards. I'm not looking for him to have a so-so year just so we can ink him for another season.
Well, that's what I mean. It's like a catch-22.
No, ball out.
Like, if he balls out, but he's going to ask for a ton of money and you have to pay DJ more, and he's older, but you also want to keep a guy who has found a new home and is awesome.
But if in fact he has a so-so year, is that a sign that maybe age is getting the best of him, and then the following year, yeah, maybe even worse?
Right.
So
and then you want to let him go that way too, or he's more like,
I'll play your ass off and I'll deal with it, and maybe at the end of the season, he loves the environment, he loves what the situation is. And maybe the Bears can find a way to pay him, maybe not as much as, say, like the Cleveland Browns could or another team, but maybe you can convince him to stay here because the atmosphere is right and the arrow's pointing in the right direction. But I want him to play his ass off. It's imperative for the development of this young quarterback that everyone around him plays at a high level. So,
can they franchise him? After you trade for someone like that on the last year of their deal,
I would think so.
Right?
I would think so.
So, like, if he's great, you could franchise him, yeah, you know, and put off DJ Moore's contract for another year.
Yeah.
And then you've always got the franchise on him the following year. I mean, it's probably not what you want to do,
I think,
I'm looking way down the road. But
listen, when you have a rookie quarterback that we think the world of, this is all important. You do have to look a few years out.
You have to have a plan.
Yes.
Because that's what I want to know. Like, because this is what Pohl said about Keenan Allen's contract.
We're just going to, you know, keep it moving through the season and see how everything plays out. There isn't a sense of urgency there right now. But we'll see how everything kind of unfolds as we get into the season.
So you want him to play here before you engage in any sort of contract talks?
Yeah. Yeah. We have a good relationship with the agent and have had some conversations that I'll keep private, but both sides are in a good spot.
Yeah. Right now, what I want to see from Keenan Allen is I want to see him play lights out football. And then I'll deal with the contract situation later, because what I need from him is for him to play at a all-pro level that helps bring along this young quarterback and helps this offense be the best that they can be. And then if we have to sit down and worry about the contract after that, so be it. I want to see him play well.
What would be more surprising to you, if Keenan Allen leads a team in receiving or he finishes third in receiving?
Third. I think so.
Really?
Yeah. Because Keenan Allen has been a perennial guy who has led his team in receiving. So for Odunze to come in and be really, really good right off the bat when there are two veterans who know what they're doing. If he gets hurt and he's third by that way, then I guess that's not that surprising. But I still expect Keenan Allen to catch 80 to 90 passes. Don't you?
Yeah, I just think that the run after the catch aspect of this is going to favor DJ. So I'm expecting DJ to be the hands down leader in yards receiving at the end of the year. I wouldn't be shocked if he finished third. I wouldn't. He's going to miss a few games.
But what would surprise you most?
Third if he finished third or first? Surprise me most. I guess I could agree with you on third. He would be the third. I think Roma Dunze is going to play, you know, and I think they're going to throw in the ball. I mean, I think DJ is going to be one, and then I think it's up for grabs who's going to be two. That's the way I feel. So I'll say I'd be more surprised if he was first overall in yards per catch or in receiving yards for the season, because I think DJ Moore is going to be that guy. He's going to be the one, and he is much more of a threat with the ball after the catch than Keenan Allen is at this point.
I want to play you this, too. This is what I was talking about during crosstalk. Because it got me thinking. And this was at the time when we were asked to sort of wrap up, too, with polls. And it's worth a discussion in the future. Not that I thought. So I'll get into what I was thinking here. But this is, again, if there's any doubt in your mind about the general manager not liking but loving his coach, all you have to do is listen to this answer. Listen to every word he says about it. Listening, and if you counter to me, Sylvie, what's he supposed to say about the coach? He is not using coach speak here. He is using over-the-top adjectives in the way he describes his coach. He loves Matt Eberflus.
Loves him some Eberflus.
He loves him. So I asked him because I thought, by the way, Eberflus was talking with confidence, the way, like, sort of half joking, but sort of not, in the way he's looking this offseason. That looks like a man who was handed a secret extension. And for those who say, well, who gives out secret extensions? The Bears have done it in the past. The Bears, I believe, did it with Pace. The Bears have done it with other coaches before.
Here's hoping those days are gone.
The Bulls have done it.
Yeah.
The White Sox have done it, right? Mm. The many teams in this town have handed out extensions, and then after the fact, they're like, "Oh yeah, by the way."
Let me ask you real quick: what is the benefit of that?
Well, transparency is always the way you want a deal. Like, if you believe in a guy, wouldn't you want to put that in bright, bold lights? Hey, we have just signed our head coach to a contract extension.
That's what I'm saying. What is there? I can't think of a single benefit to signing somebody to an extension and not letting people know about it.
I agree with you. I agree.
What are you hiding?
It drives me crazy.
What are you having to hide here?
Right. So that's what I just wanted to make sure. Hey, was Matt Eberflus signed to a contract extension this offseason? Because some believe he's on the hot seat if he hasn't been. So this was Ryan Poles answering the question if he's been signed to a contract extension.
No, I think that probably would have been posted if we did. But I believe in Matt. Listen, people don't see the things that he has done for this football team. It's probably under the surface, which I completely understand. I still think it's crazy how we all say, "Hey, you're one that's on him too." Like that like blows my mind that we still do that. But we still celebrate how far we've come as a roster. I don't know how those two things can be true. But I believe in the guy. The culture here is strong. Our locker room is awesome. The development of our players continues to move in the right direction. And then what he did last year with all the stress on having to call the defense and be the head coach, I thought was incredible. You have to be mentally tough in this city with a situation we were in to start to where we are going. And he has everything he needs. I don't know too many men that can overcome some of the challenges that we have had. And I think the world of the guy, and I think he's going to continue to get better and better right along with this football team.
I don't blame Matt Eberflus for year one. Year one was a complete teardown. I think when we were critical of Matt Eberflus, there were a couple of reasons. First of all, his staff that he put together, two of them had to be relieved of their duties because of non-football related things. And whether or not, that's not directly a Matt Eberflus mistake, but he has to wear that in some ways because those are his coaches. So that creates a level of chaos, for a lack of a better term. And then when you cough up three historic leads in the manner in which you did, you got to wear some of that as well. So, like, when there was some criticism that was being, thrust upon Matt Eberflus, I thought it was a valid criticism.
Yeah.
Now, I do believe also, as Ryan, alluded to it, thought he did a nice job keeping that team together. I thought he did a much better job as a defensive coordinator, pointing that defense in the right direction in the second half of the season than at any time we had seen him prior to that. I would also say that the improvement can be tied directly to the addition of Montez Sweat as well. So, look, I give him credit, but I, you know, 100% honesty here, I was all for considering an upgrade in the coaching position when this season, you know, was over.
Well, we both were, and like the one thing I, when I heard that in listening, and I don't want to bring back the bring up the Justin debate again, but when I was listening to all of that, you could change out the name and then argue the same thing for Justin. Replace the Eber that soundbite and say year one isn't on him.
Right.
We tore it down. He handled all the stress of what we did with the rebuild. He, you have to be mentally tough to play in this city. He overcame all the challenges that we had. Do you know what I mean?
I do.
Like, so
what's the one difference between the two?
I don't, well, I don't believe that Justin should be the quarterback of this town. I believe you needed an upgrade, much like I believe you need a coach upgrade as well. But I'm just saying that a lot of the arguments he's used for the coach, you could have used. The difference is it's his guy.
That's the what that, I was getting
that's
at.
What you're looking at? Yes. Is that Justin wasn't his guy, and this is his guy.
Yes.
So he fundamentally believed in Matt from the start.
Yes.
And he was looking for reasons to not believe in Justin from the start as well.
Well, I mean, I don't know if he was looking for reasons not to believe in Justin, but I don't believe that he was going to ride with Justin in a manner in which he was willing to ride with Coach Eberflus.
Right. And I'm not, again, I'm not trying to bring back up any sort of a quarterback thing.
No.
I'm just saying that if you're not going to use those arguments for Justin, and like you said, Matt Eberflus in the fourth quarter stuff, Eberflus was the one when they were looking for a quarterback said, we've got to be better in the fourth quarter offensively. We've got to finish off games. And one thing, Caleb, there's a famous Caleb Williams stat about not throwing interceptions in the fourth quarter, not fumbling in the fourth quarter. He's got a really good resume the last 2 years in the fourth quarter.
Thirds and fourth downs as well.
Third and fourth downs. Like you said, that Cleveland game against Joe Flacco, who is on his couch, what they allowed, it 200, I think it was 212 yards in the fourth quarter defensively.
That is correct.
To lose that football game, that's on Matt Eberflus. So this year going into this season is now that the roster, and he's given the tools, is going to be a huge test for Matt Eberflus.
I agree. Totally. And again, I was all for, look, we spent a lot of time talking about upgrading positions. And I know that people probably got tired of hearing us say this, but if you're going to upgrade a quarterback, like you were just talking about, you should be open to upgrading at the coaching position as well. So with all of that said, I think you had a web poll question yesterday or the day before. Who has the most pressure on them heading into the 2024 season? I don't think it's even close. It is Matt Eberflus. And I say that in the same breath, I will also say to you, I don't think he's on a really hot seat either.
It's not even close.
No, I don't think the seat is warm.
I think that's a recliner right now.
I think
he's in his hoodie with that beautiful beard and coiffed hair, and he's cool. I think he's
while
cool
is,
as a cucumber
while
right
there
now.
Has been no contract extension, I believe that there has been an assurance or there has been an agreement that these guys are actually on board on, you know, thinking the same way.
Yeah.
And like, that's the difference. And I think we acknowledge that going back in time. Like, Matt Eberflus is Ryan Poles' guy. Justin was not. You know, so, I mean, we'll see going forward. I think everything is there. Everything is there for them. I'm not telling you that the Super Bowl is guaranteed to anyone, but they have put a really solid team together, and it's now time to develop these guys, and it's now time to win.
Yeah.
It's time to win.
Well, I mean, who had last year in the NFC Green Bay, Tampa Bay, and Detroit going as far as they went?
I don't think anybody.
So Like, as long as you make it to the postseason, you've got a chance.
Yeah. Detroit was in the NFC title game. I think people forget sometimes.
Yes, exactly.
They had like a 20-point lead at halftime.
Yes. Yes. Matt and Lyle, you're on ESPN 1000. What's up, Matt?
Not much. How are you? Happy Friday.
You too.
So I had two questions about Keenan Allen, but since you were talking about Fields and Eberflus, I would say probably the biggest difference between the two of them is that what's the last coaching candidate to come through that would have teams salivating the way that Caleb Williams gets teams salivating for him. But for Keenan Allen, I think when he talks about he wants to see him in a Bears jersey before he offers a deal, part of me wonders if that he wanted to see how the draft went and see if he can get a wide receiver that he's really excited about before offering a contract. And now that we got Rome Odunze, I wonder if he's more excited to see how Keenan Allen does on the field to offer him a contract or how well Odunze does before he offers Keenan a contract.
It's a great point, Matt. It really is. It's a great point. Like, if Odunze is well-developed right away and has great chemistry right away, and like Charlie was saying, maybe he's your two right out of the gate. Yeah, maybe you've got your one and two.
Well, and that robs Keenan Allen of any leverage that you may think he has in a contract situation. I will say this, though, in response to, like, in terms of salivating, remember, Bill Belichick was still was out there to be hired as a coach.
Jim Harbaugh
was out there to be hired as a coach. Mike Vrabel was out there to be hired as a coach. So there were options if you not only wanted to change the quarterback, if you wanted to change the coach.
Bob and Elgin, you're on ESPN 1000. What's up, Bobby?
Oh, not much, guys. Thanks for taking the call. You know, the thing about Eberflus, we talked about the good and the bad. I think what bothered a lot of Chicago fans was all the hype we had going into last season and the thought of playing that first game against the Packers. And they had such a weak preseason. It looks like they came in unprepared, and they almost got blown out of that game. And Jordan Love was eventually what we thought he wouldn't be. And I think that was more of what bothered a lot of us. And then the second, the third game after that.
That's fair. I mean, again, and Bob, I've said all season long, it's the losses in the games where they blew big leads, those sting. But the game that they lost to open the season against the Green Bay Packers is the one that sat with me all season long. Still does.
Yes. Yes.
Still does. The one that disappointed me most.
Tone setter. It was a tone setter not only for your team,
yes,
but for the Packers and their new quarterback.
Well, and it was a realization as well that all our hopes and dreams about our quarterback was finally going to take control of this rivalry wasn't to be, because their quarterback came out. And while there was a dip in his play about the fifth week of the season, he came out and played exceptionally well in the first 3 or 4 weeks of the season and starting with the opening game.
All right, load it up now. Let's have some fun with a punter or jockey. And the way this game is being played, with all the punter talk, with all the punter hype, with Torrey Taylor getting drafted, we're going to have some fun. How well do you know your punters and jockeys? Tyler will give you a name on the air. You have to tell us, is this an NFL punter or is this a jockey in horse racing? 312-332-3776. So we're tying two stories together. The Bears' new punter and the Kentucky Derby set for this weekend. 312-332-3776. Let's take callers. Every five callers. We'll start with caller five and we'll go up 5, 10, 15, 20, until we get 10 callers on the screen. If you win, you'll win Connie's Frozen Pizza, a coupon for a free Connie's Frozen Pizza. 312-332-3776. Punter or jockey, coming up next.
Follow Chicago's Home for Sports on Twitter at ESPN 1000. This is Waddle and Sylvie on Chicago's Home for Sports, ESPN Chicago.
Wait. They have horses here?
All right, let's have a little fun. Take my mind off the Cubs' terrible bullpen. This is punter or jockey. As the Mad Hatter said, probably the best. I think the original version of this game, Carmen and I played like 20 years ago when we played hockey player or Russian politician.
That's good.
Like when, back That's in the good. Day when I refused to talk hockey.
Did we, what did we do? At one point, did we talk hawk or not a hawk? Or we did something
yes,
of that?
Yes, always. We've always, and we've done many versions of this game.
Yeah.
So with all the punter stuff, like many people got mad at Carmen and Yurko for dismissing the Bears' fourth round pick. And he's a weapon. And then other people got mad at us for talking too much about the punter. I just loved it all, actually. So now we're just going to end the week with a little fun because the Bears drafted Tory Taylor in the fourth round. And with the Kentucky Derby tomorrow, let's play punter or jockey. So Tyler's going to give you a name, and you have to tell us, is this an NFL punter or is this a jockey in horse racing?
It doesn't. Is this has to be a jockey in the Derby or just a jockey in general?
I've got Derby jockeys.
Wow.
I'm definitely going to go 100 for 100 here.
Are you really?
Oh, yeah.
But you're not helping them, are you?
No, not unless you...
Write it. You show me what... write it down so I could see how well you do.
I've got two pads, paddles here.
Okay, good.
I got a jockey paddle.
Okay, and you'll hold it up?
And I have a punter pad.
Okay, good. I like this. All right, let's go to the phones here. Mike in Lockport.
What are they playing for?
The Connie's Frozen Pizza.
Oh, Jesus.
Yes. Pick up Connie's Frozen Pizza. Born in Chicago. Enjoyed everywhere. And we'll send you a coupon in the mail so you can go to your local grocer's freezer and pick it up. It's Friday. You don't want to cook tonight.
Friday.
So stop at your local grocer's freezer and pick up a Connie's Frozen Pizza. Mike in Lockport, what's going on, Mikey?
Not too much. Good afternoon, gentlemen. How you guys doing?
We're good. Well, do you know your punter or jockeys better?
Absolutely not.
Okay. Neither. Okay. Neither. Okay. All right. Well, you got to guess then. Here we go. Tyler, what do you got for
All him? Right. Mike, your name is Ben Curtis. Ben Curtis.
That's got to be a jockey.
That is a jockey.
Very good.
Well done, Mike.
He has Honor Marie this weekend.
Okay. Ben Curtis. I don't know if I would have known that or not. It would have been a guess. Was that a guess by you, Mike?
Oh, it sure was.
Okay, very good. Hold on. We'll get your info. Nick in Elmwood Park. Hey, Nick.
Hey, how's it going?
All right, Nick.
All right, Nick. Your name is Joel Rosario.
Joel Rosario. I'm going to go punter.
That is a jockey.
See, I would have guessed punter there, too.
I'm telling you, I'm going to bet 1,000.
Waddle is 2 for 2 so far. Sorry, Nick.
He's with Track Phantom this weekend.
Eric at Medina. Eric, you got the clubs out?
Yeah, absolutely.
You got the drinks out?
Yeah, and I got 9 linemen we could have taken instead of that punter.
So you're anti-punter.
Eric is anti-punter at 4.
You know, you just can't do that. You got 4 or 5 picks. You don't take a punter.
So you're with Waddle on this.
Wait, what do you get? Another 10th of a second hang time? You get 5 more yards? That's a no.
Okay.
You're just asking for people to hate on you, Eric.
No, it's all right.
Okay.
All right, so here's your name, punter or jockey?
Eric, your name is Blake Gillikin. Blake Gillikin.
That's a punter.
That is a punter.
He's a multiplier.
I don't know if Blake Gillikin is a multiplier.
Well done, Charlie. Now, did you just go with the odds because we had 2 jockeys, or did you know Eric Gillikin?
No, I know jockeys. I don't know punters, and that definitely was not a jockey. So
yeah.
Blake
I'm
Gillikin
with you, Eric. I know all the jockeys. I don't know any of the punters.
He's the punter for the Arizona Cardinals.
That ride horses. So
hold on, Eric. All right, we're 2 for 3 so far. We're handing out some pizzas from Connie's Frozen Pizza. Steven in Blue Island, one of the most beautiful islands this time of year. What's up?
How's it going, guys?
We're good.
All right, Steven, your name is Matthew Hayball. Matthew Hayball.
I'm going to go with a punter.
That is a punter.
Very good.
He's a multiplier.
Multiplier. Good work,
with
Steven.
With the New Orleans Saints.
Thank you, guys.
You're welcome.
He's got pizza heading his way. We're 3 for 4. Justin and Addison, we're playing punter or jockey. What's up, Justin?
Not much, guys. How are you?
Did you like the punter pick?
You know, I
I'm going with Poles. I wouldn't have done it, but, you know, we'll see during the game.
That's my spirit animal right there, Justin. I wouldn't have done it, but I'm riding with the GM.
It was almost verbatim what you said. Yeah.
Yeah.
All right, Justin, here's your name.
Justin, you have Ethan Evans. Ethan Evans.
Ethan Evans. Hunter?
That is a punter for the L.A. Rams.
It definitely sounded like a punter.
He's a multiplier.
Is it weird that I think a name sounds like either a jockey or a punter?
Yeah, kind of.
I don't know what that means, though.
I think you struggle more with punter or not a punter. That wasn't me. It sounded like me, but it wasn't me.
Brad heard the little bell when we put someone on the air, and as he was getting clicked in, he was clearing his throat, getting ready to talk. Was I right about
la,
that,
la,
Brad?
La, la, la.
Yeah, bad timing, I guess.
Yeah.
What's up, fellas?
Brad, are you high?
No.
Okay. I'm not either.
I know my jockey, so I'm ready.
Oh, you got so you're more. Are you gambling on the race tomorrow?
Yeah, for sure. I got just a touch.
Just a touch. Just a touch.
Is that a real horse or is he just putting us on?
I don't know. I know the jockeys. I don't know the horses.
Oh, okay. Brad, is that a real horse?
Yeah, number 8.
Okay, number 8. All right, Brad, here you go.
All right, Brad, your name is Keith Asmussen.
That's a jockey.
That is a jockey for Just Steele.
I definitely would have gone punter there.
He's the son of the all-time leading trainer in all of horse racing, Steve Asmussen.
Oh, so the trainer had a jockey son.
Yes. I think he's got 2 sons that are jockeys.
But wow. What's the... what's the tallest a jockey has ever been?
I don't know, but Keith Asmussen... Ass Muffin?
Did you just call him an Ass Muffin?
Ass Muffin. Keith Ass Muffin. Well, that's his new name now. I believe is one of the taller jockeys. Keith Ass Muffin.
Brad, how tall is the tallest jockey ever?
You know, I'm not sure. I wasn't aware that was too important, actually, but...
Well, you don't want them to be heavy, okay?
Right, hold on,
Brad. You don't want the good kid.
I think we've only gotten one wrong. We got a lot of free pizza.
I'm looking right now. The tallest jockey. They let Manute Bol jockey a horse one time.
Right, okay, but that was just a celebrity race.
Yeah.
And he also probably weighs, he's gone now, right?
Manute's no longer with us. How tall is Keith Asmussen?
I just have
a tall Asmussen.
Asmussen. How tall is Keith Asmussen?
Height. Let's see. It says nearly 6 foot tall, 5'10".
Yeah, he's
get out of here.
Yeah, he doesn't weigh a ton.
There's a jockey who's 5'10".
Yeah,
that's incredible.
Yeah, of course, Keith Ass Muffin.
I dare you to call our boss that,
Keith Ass Muffin. Why would I call him?
Can't even pronounce Ass Muffin.
I can't even pronounce that. Yeah.
Come on, let's go,
John and Aurora. What's going on, John?
Hey, guys. Thanks for letting me on.
You got it.
All right. You ready, John? Your name is Corey Bjorkes. Corey Bjorkes.
He's a punter.
That's correct.
He's a multiplier.
Did you know which team he punted for?
I don't know this year, but he used to be the Bills punter, and he sucked. So then they got rid of him. They drafted the guy who had the rape case, and then they got.
Oh yeah,
was he with the Browns?
He is with the Browns. Yep.
Wow.
Still is.
You guys knew all about that punter. That was good stuff. We're on a roll, guys.
Giving away what has been our motto for 17 years?
Ass muffin.
No, we may not be very good, but we give away great stuff.
We do.
Yeah.
In this case, Connie's frozen pizzas. Patrick in Bolingbrook. What's up, Patrick?
Hey, what's up, Anthony?
Do you do what Peggy does, and do you Bolingbroke? That's what the commercial says.
Do I beat? I've only lived here for a few years, so not yet. Okay. I will eventually.
You need to be Bolingbroke.
Yeah, you start being Bolingbroke.
I'll try it.
Okay.
All right, you ready?
Yes, sir.
All right, your name is Ty Zentner. Ty Zentner.
That doesn't sound like a little guy name. I'm going to go punter.
You're correct. He's the punter for the Titans.
Zentner does not sound like a little guy.
He's a multiplier.
But Ass Muffin does.
Hold on, Patrick. We have only stumped one person, and that was the second one. All right, Kevin in Lakeview. We got two more to go. What's up, Kev?
Yes, sir. Hey, how you doing?
We're good.
Sunny day here in Wrigleyville.
Amen.
Well, not so much anymore. And I'm not talking about the weather.
All right, Kevin, your name, Adam Beschiza.
Beschiza.
I'm going to say that is a punter.
That is a jockey for Epic Ride.
Kevin, sorry.
I'm pretty sure Kevin got on the line and says, I know my jockeys.
Did he really? Yeah, this one. And you knew when Waddle corrected the name, Waddle brags about knowing jockeys.
And not punters.
Yes, that gave it away that it was a jockey.
Ass Muffin.
And Nelson in LaGrange, you're our final caller. You got to finish up on a winning note,
Nelson.
All right,
I'm going to finish strong, boys. I'm going to finish strong.
All right, Nelson, your name is Jamie Gillen.
Jamie Gillen. I'm going to go with punter.
He is a punter.
Wow.
Yes.
Did I tell you I would go 10 for 10?
Did you go 10 for 10?
10 for 10.
Wow. Good job, Nelson.
Well done. What did we go?
Thank
8 for 10?
Thank
the
you.
Callers went 8 for 10?
Hey, callers went 8 for 10. And put you on hold. We'll get your information. There you go. Good game. Punter or jockey.
Yeah.
And we brought you a little ass muffin
little
while
ass
we're at
it. Yeah, not lemon muffin, ass muffin.
Lemon muffin is a horse in the race.
That is correct.
That's fun
ass
stuff.
Muffin is a mispronunciation of one of the jockeys riding in tomorrow's Kentucky Derby.
That was amazing.
Asmussen. Asmussen? I think that's how you
pronounce it. Asmussen.
Asmussen. Asmussen! His name is Keith Asmussen. And why would I call our boss Keith Ass Muffin? It's Keith Williams.
Well,
why would
I mean,
there's no play on words there.
Keith.
Which I call him Keith Williams. Keith Williams.
Jesse's going to join us from Wrigley Field later in the show. The Cubs bullpen strikes again. We'll talk about that coming up. We got some NBA to discuss. It finally got good with the Knicks 76ers series because I think the first round has been bad. And some other fun stuff to get to. It's Waddle and Sylvie.
ESPN 1000, Chicago's home for sports. You're listening to Waddle and Sylvie. Watch us and join the chat. Follow ESPN 1000 Chicago on twitch.tv or the Twitch app.
That was fun. Punter, jockey. So we'll talk some Cubs a little bit later in the show. They currently trail the Brewers 3-1. Ninth inning after having the lead.
How do you give the ball to Alzolay again?
It's what a lot of people on Twitter are asking. Like, a lot of people want him DFA'd. We talked about this yesterday.
I'm not suggesting that.
Right, because he has no more options. Who was the bullpen arm last year, the veteran, who was awful in the beginning of the year and then righted the ship, Tyler, towards the end of the year and then became very reliable?
Was it Merriweather?
No, not on the team anymore.
Oh, he's not on the team anymore.
Longtime veteran. He was a Tiger for a while. See, I'm terrible with
not
names.
Not Chafin. That's a couple of years ago.
No, yeah, that was
no,
a
he
years
was
a
Rookie
ago.
Of the Year with the Tigers as a starter.
Oh, Fulmer. Michael Fulmer.
Fulmer. So remember how bad Fulmer was at the beginning of the year, went through a stretch where he was very bad and almost was unpitchable, and then settled in and at one time was very good for the Cubs last year. You know, they have these ebbs and flows, and I know it looks terrible for Alzolay right now. You're going to have to pitch him in these games that are either they have a big lead or they're losing. And you can't pitch him in a 1-0 game in the eighth inning. But you can't just give away a good pitcher. You absolutely cannot just DFA him. Whether you put him on the DL, IL, and you try to get him back right, you can't give away a young arm. Do you know what I'm saying?
No, I wouldn't DFA him. I just wouldn't pitch him. Tell him to go sit down and grab some bench for a while.
And then you have to work it out and hope that something changes. That they discover a flaw in the mechanics. That they discover that he's tipping his pitches. I think with Fulmer, he was tipping his pitches or something like that. And you figure out.
Get in the lab.
You get in the lab and you fix it. But again, it's not like they have a bunch of great options there. Now, Wisniewski pitched great today. He may be the next guy to go to the pen when Steele comes back. They were talking about that this morning.
Did somebody make a trade for a bullpen arm today?
Yeah, the Twins traded with the Diamondbacks, I want to say.
Cash, right? Then they just gave up cash. So, I mean, look, you can still add arms. I don't know how impactful that guy will be, but I know it's early, but...
That was one of those situations. It was like the Garrett Cooper trade that the Cubs made with the Red Sox, where they DFA'd him, but basically you're trying to jump the line, so you're sending cash that way instead.
Okay. Is there somebody that could fit the bill for you on the north side?
I'm sure. I mean,
look, if you had any type of, like, even middle-of-the-road bullpen, you'd be 8, 9, 10 games over 500 right now.
You'd have 23 wins right now, probably.
Yeah.
The A's got a few arms, but you're probably not seeing any movement for the big names until
July. None of the big names. They were talking about that today. Like, you're looking at Miami. You're looking at maybe at Houston. You know, if Houston continues to be bad, they could be looking to flip some of their guys. You're looking at, help me out here, who the Angels. The Angels have some arms. Maybe Pittsburgh. Now, they got off to a quick start, and they're falling quickly. You're looking at teams like that.
Do something.
Yeah, you have to.
But because again, it gets demoralizing. Look, I know it's early in the season, but it can become demoralizing.
You can't, like, again, also some of these games, too, the 1-0 games are tough to hold to begin with. Like, they had the 1-0 game against the Mets that they were lucky to win.
Yeah.
Today was another 1-0 game. You would like to also score more than one in a few of these games.
Of course you would.
You know, you need some of these bats, some of these guys who are hitting 215, 220, to start hitting a little bit more.
Yeah.
Dansby Swanson's got to start hitting better. You know, some of these, and I know Saya's hurt and Bellinger's hurt and some guys are hurt, but they have to start hitting more. But yes, the bullpen is there. They're where they're at because of their starting rotation. Even with the injuries and with Hendricks being bad, they're still able to win at a pretty good level because of their starting rotation.
That is correct.
So 312-332-3776. Once this goes final, we'll talk to Jesse. I think he's going to join us in an hour from now. We'll talk some NBA. How many games do you guys believe Patrick Beverley will be suspended? And then, like, there's some people arguing with me on Twitter. Is Jalen Brunson underrated or not? People don't think he's underrated anymore. 312-332-3776.